Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi guys, I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture. He's Phil Chambers from What Culture, and we are here with your afternoon. So let's just dive straight into it, talking about the real reason why AEW have dropped the storyline surrounding Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, and Adam Cole. If you're wondering that they sort of started that and then just sort of abandoned it and all the stuff with Young Bucks and Red Dragon and what have you, well, the reason why that has happened is because of Kyle O'Reilly taking some paternity leave. This is according to Dave Meltzer in the latest Wrestling Observer newsletter. He's currently off TV because of the birth of his daughter, Janie Elizabeth Greenwood. What a lovely name that is, who he and his wife welcomed into the world on the 17th of January. O'Reilly, of course, debuted over Christmas, the 22nd of December, episode of AEW Dynamite, 12 days after his WWE contract expired. But they started it so that people wouldn't just be like, that's a bit weird that they haven't even referenced this. But they sort of knew already in advance that, yes, Kyle would be taking time off, Phil, for the birth of his daughter. I like this.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, normalize this kind of thing.
Yeah.
These, like, real life things happen, and these things are, let's face it, far more important than what goes on in the wrestling ring. This is like the birth of his child.
He'll
probably be there for it and stay home. So this is really good. It might be another thing why they might have brought in Switchblade, maybe, mm-hmm. Jay White, to kind of keep that kind of warring old faction storyline going through AEW, but without having to go back to the Red Dragon thing for now. And then when you do bring that back in, that could be another spanner in mm-hmm. the works for the whole sort of grander thing. So I think it'll all work out in the long run, and as soon as they like get back to this, it'd be very intriguing to see what they do.
Yeah, you sense there's been this sort of ongoing storyline that they're slowly bringing together of Adam Cole usurping Kenny Omega's part in the Elite,
yeah.
and then sort of dismantling a little bit. He's got the Young Bucks on his side for now, but then of course he's got Red Dragon, who don't always see eye to eye with the Young Bucks.
Yeah.
And tonight, even on Rampage, he's got Jay White cornering the Young Bucks, much to their displeasure.
Yeah, and then eventually, whenever Kenny Omega does come back, the bits there. There's so many moving parts to this. It's absolutely great. Mm. I absolutely love it. But yeah,
but I have a question for you,
Hello.
Phil.
There it is.
Why did Kyle O'Reilly go to AEW?
Well, funny you should ask that, because I have a bit of an update from that. He was on Rene Pagat's Oral Sessions podcast. I've heard it's quite a good podcast.
It's one of the best podcasts out there that isn't ours.
And he was talking about the kind of differences between AEW and WWE and why he decided to go with AEW instead of staying around at WWE. And I've got a quote
specifically from NXT 2.0.
Well, yeah, that's true. And I will just read out some quotes from the podcast. He said, the AEW locker room is full of these guys that I came up with in this business that I've been friends with for years. There was a lot of that in NXT too, but it seemed like every couple of weeks I would look around at the locker room and it was getting decimated. It wasn't a very good environment, I guess, at that time. I wanted to follow my heart, where I'm going to be happy and be utilized. So he was very worried about his part in the sort of WWE landscape mm-hmm. and what that might look at, especially in terms of a move to the main roster. Obviously, his entire WWE run for 4 years was on NXT. And he went on to talk about how he felt to stay with WWE, it was going to be to stay with NXT. And at this point, after 4.5 years, if you don't really have a spot for Kyle O'Reilly on the main roster, I get the vibe that there wasn't going to be a spot for him up there. So yeah, as soon as like that NXT run was sort of coming to an end and NXT 2.0 was beginning to come in, there was a lot of ums and ahs about what was going to happen with Kyle O'Reilly, especially with his contract coming up when it did. He had like a dark match before SmackDown, I think, once. And I think when you start seeing things like that, you start seeing Vince McMahon's vision for him on the main roster and what that might be. And I honestly think he made quite the wise choice.
Yeah. I mean, the friends is the justification for disregarding everything else, one would assume. Yeah. But also, no great surprise here. And I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, look at bloody NXT 2.0 and the Von Bahn Wagner Hart storyline or what have you.
Yeah.
I think if NXT was still the NXT we knew and loved, I think I wouldn't be surprised if he moved anyway, if someone like Adam Cole had already made the leap, and Bobby Fish, obviously.
Yeah.
I think it makes a lot of sense. Like you say, he only needed to look at what they had planned for Adam Cole if he moved to the main roster, let alone, you know, the underlings, let's say, in the Undisputed Era. Yeah.
And not even on that scale, if you look at how they treated like a Karrion Kross, for example, going up there. Yeah, there's a lot of red flags to be seen there, and especially when all of your mates have gone to AEW anyway, and if the offer's there and they're willing, why the hell wouldn't you go there? You're not going to increase your position in your career by staying at NXT 2.0.
Really excited to see what he does in AEW, but I remember being there in that Raw after WrestleMania in 2019 when they had the title versus title match, and we were like, well, that's not getting a finish, so I think the Undisputed Era are going to debut, and they never did. Why would you not use the Undisputed Era on the main roster? Because you're Vince McMahon, and they don't look the right way, basically. But yeah, it's best of luck to Kyle O'Reilly and all of the Undisputed Era, other than Roderick Strong, who's obviously still in NXT, with what they do next. And yeah, don't hound Kyle O'Reilly to return. Allow him, like we said, to just enjoy his paternity leave, because, yeah, just ask the dadlies. Dads need time too.
Yeah.
Anyway,
hard work.
Yeah, let's bring you a bit of an update on the former Tyson Kidd, better known, of course, as TJ Wilson, or probably better known as Tyson Kidd, but he's known as TJ Wilson, of course. He's been missing for a while from several WWE, what they called, internal run sheets. He's been sort of missing as a producer recently. Fightful recently pointed this out. But Dave Meltzer has clarified the situation on the Wrestling Observer newsletter. It's very much good news, bad news. He's still very much on good terms with his employers. He's still got a producer role. He is going to be coming back. I think he does some great stuff. You always hear his name coming out when associated with some of the fantastic matches that they put together. He's not quitting WWE, basically. But it's not all good news. Horrible to read that, once again, TJ Wilson, those neck issues. He obviously suffered the spinal cord injury, taking that muscle buster from Samoa Joe on Raw in 2015, or on a Raw dark match, I should say, in 2015. Meltzer writes that while Wilson is currently able to function, his neck is in, quote, terrible shape and can flare up, sort of preventing him from doing anything. Awful, this. I know there's been, you know, speculation recently with other people with neck stuff coming back. I think we always say TJ Wilson, Tyson Kidd's situation is very different to everyone else.
Yep.
But I would have hoped that it would be at least manageable. Awful to read this.
Yeah, that's the thing. You kind of expect him to get to a point where it's at least like livable with, or like fine. But when you can't even come in and do his producer role, you know, something really bad is going on. And it's a shame for a guy like TJ who, like you say, universally liked backstage. Like, you only ever hear good things about him. Like, to the point when I think it was both Bayley and Sasha both like sung his praises on the Stone Cold Steve Austin Broken Skull Sessions podcast when they were on that. And even to the point where like people refused Royal Rumble positions specifically because he wasn't producing the match. Like, that kind of tells you everything you need to know about how well-liked the guy is backstage and how people trust him in that position and kind of want him there. So it's good news that he's not been thrust out of that position and WWE aren't moving off in a different direction. But yeah, just get well soon, TJ.
Absolutely, yeah. We wish him well in his recovery, because neck issues are something that we always hope that our favourite wrestlers can recover from. Some of them just have to, you know, shift into these other roles, and still living with it is clearly a daily issue. Like you say, Phil, just get well soon, TJ.
Yeah, absolutely. And to finish off this afternoon news, it's a little bit about Seth Rollins. He was on the Pat McAfee's podcast. Another great podcast,
just not as good as ours,
obviously. And he named his Mount Rushmore of wrestling, like everyone's favourite question, really, in terms of wrestling, who they would put up on Mount Rushmore. And he named his, and one of them is very surprising, I must say. So I'll go through. He put Shawn Michaels on first.
Of course.
Good choice. Eddie Guerrero. Good choice.
Yeah.
Bryan Hart. Good choice. You might recognise a theme here of very good in-ring workers on his Mount Rushmore. Fourth one, it's an AEW guy.
Oh.
It's a current guy. It's Bryan Danielson.
Ah, okay.
Obviously. And he went on to say that he's like, when all is done and done, he's going to go down as being one of the absolute greatest in-ring performers of all time. And I honestly can't disagree with him more.
Yeah, at all. I think, especially when it comes to non-WWE stuff, i.e. not something that Vince McMahon has his dirty, grubby little fingers in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be allowed that you can, you shouldn't just be able to be like, oh, well, that person doesn't work for us anymore, so they no longer existed. Like, I'm not saying that they should or shouldn't do that when people do discretions outside of the ring. That is a completely different issue.
Yep.
But just because they go and work over there doesn't mean that you shouldn't be having them in the conversation as one of the greatest ever alongside Hart, Michaels and Guerrero.
Yeah, and you absolutely can't argue
as well.
He is absolutely incredible. He's my favourite current wrestler and, yeah, possibly... I'm gonna go out and say he's probably one of the greatest workers of all time.
I think there's no arguments there.
Yeah.
I hope he doesn't get punished for any of this bollocks, basically.
Yes, this is true, but who's on your Mount Rushmore? More to the point.
Kim Graves. Titus O'Neil.
Obviously.
The Iconics.
Oh, no, there it is.
Iconics at either end, and then the other two.
Yeah, of course.
Are yours?
Even it out
too
better.
Cool.
Mankind, Cactus Jack, Dude Love, and Commissioner Foley.
Let us know your wrestling Mount Rushmore. Mount Rushmore. It's Friday afternoon. Mount Rushmore. Let's get to the pub. In the comments section below, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. We've literally just finished recording Wrestle Culture with a hashtag Bloody Good Quiz, so go and check that out when it comes out in... Now, soon. It's out now. It's literally out now. Plus, you can let us know your thoughts, Twitter questions, all that sort of thing, at WhatCultureWW on Twitter. Watch there, follow both of us. You can follow Phil Chambers at...
Phil My Chambers, and you can follow Adam at...
Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWW, as I said. But for now, my thanks to Phil Chambers. Thanks you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.